And while you're turning there, I'm going to remind us, you know, 2 weeks ago, starting out the year, we talked about the first two commandments and the love of God and have no other idols before us, and how much emphasis God puts on not only our worship and walk with God and to acknowledge God and everything we do, but also the love of our neighbor, of each other. And then last week we looked at, well, in doing so, as we're starting out the year, and as I said, you can start that at any time. It just seems like that these things usually come to mind when we think of starting a new year. What about the race, to run the race, and the race that we have as Christians? And we looked at over in Hebrews, and read that again. It said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We looked at that weight, and I told you that for one of the first times, if not the first time, and it was the first time that weight really stood out separate to me, and to try to identify some things that might not be bad per se, but they slow us down. They weighed us down. And that's why I wore that big coat and my hat. And Brother Kenny said today'd been another good day to wear a hat. And he's right. As cool as it is, today's when I should have wrapped up and put all the clothes on. Might have been a little slow getting in, but I've been a lot warmer. But that was what I was trying to get across. And I think the scripture was to all of us. It helped me to study that and see that. And I think in using clothing as an example, as much as you would as a runner here in a race, it shows you it's very easy to remove. It was easy for me to take that hat off, easy for me to take the coat off. So there are some things that are a little harder for us to remove out of our lives, but a lot of things that slow us down or hinder us in the race or in our daily lives can be removed quite easily. We just allow them to tag along. I give Kim a hard time to come in this morning, or we was around the house this morning, and I said, well, because she's always after the kids, put your coat up, put your shoes up, et cetera. And I said, well, I see there's four coats out in here. She said, don't say anything about it. I haven't decided which one I want to wear yet. And so I see the rules apply, or the clothing, until it gets to Kim and Mom. She can put out as many coats and shoes as she wants. The rest of us, we have to. So I say that, though, it was real easy for her to get in there and get in what she wants, stick them back in the closet and see what was heavy, windbreaker, whatever she needed. And I think that's our lives. That's where our lives are, but we don't take the time sometimes to say, okay, what's the hindrance? What's slowing us down? And so, anyway, I hope that it helped me to study that and to try my best last week to present that to you, or at least let us look at it. And I'm going to try again today, so pray for me. Another topic that goes along with that over in Ecclesiastes. And as I was studying that, I ran across and was studying and doing cross-references and ran across here in Ecclesiastes 9. And I'd read this before, and I'd always had a different take on it, and never really had a hard time understanding it. And so prayed about it, and I'm talking about over several years, had looked here at chapter 9, and as we read this, you'll see, we won't read all of it, we'll probably start about probably 10, 11, and 12. But for years, even things happening in my life and family, I'd be pulled back here just to read. And I always had the take on it that it was chance. And when I thought of chance, but it puzzled me. And let me explain myself. I knew that God's in control of everything. We know that. We believe that. And I'd read this, and it'd talk about chance. And I'd say, well, right here, though, Solomon, wisest man's ever lived, says it's time and chance. And that would puzzle me in a way. I'd say that's not contradictory. So there's got to be more to this. It's not just random occurrence. But the sovereign hand of God knows what's in each one of our lives. He knows their appointed day that would be saved. He knows the appointed day that you'd die. He knows all things. If he didn't, he wouldn't be God. And so, as I was studying the weights, it's almost like that was the hat or the coat or one of the weights that's troubled me has always been this. Because you sometimes look at your life and you wonder why some things happen. And not just your life, but even others' lives. I remember my mother used to have the saying, and she'd say, life events sometimes turn you the way you respond or or act or to whatever may happen. And sometimes it's for the benefit of others because you're able to help maybe others down the road. And she would say that. And I think about that sometimes in preaching. And I've mentioned that to you before. Years ago, you guys remember Brother Darris, he'd come over and visit. Preacher Jack would always get him up there to preach. And afterwards, I'd always say, boy, he preaches something that seems like I need just every day at work or I need at home. You know, and not saying Preacher Jack wasn't, but I mean, it'd be like right for the time. And others would say, yeah, he does. It seems like it's always right where you're living. And I mentioned that to Preacher Jack one time. He said that's because he's lived it. He's had those maybe problems or something come up in the family or whatever it may be. And he's able to, through the scripture and his experience, you know, and give you some encouragement. And so, well, same way as Pastor Rick gives us encouragement. And a lot of that sometimes comes from his stories that he tells or experiences during the preaching. Maybe some of us have been in the jail ministry or men in the jail or whatever. And anyway, you can tell I've put a lot of thought and prayer into this because we read this today. On the surface, it's going to look like it's all just chance that things occur. But that's not the case. And it's taken me years, I'm talking years, to get by that and realize that's not always the case. So let me read this to you, not the case at all. And let me read this to you and you can see why. Because we look at it from worldly eyes or the way the world sees things, and it would just appear that it's just random. Well, like that Powerball lottery, there was three winners. They said they had one in 242 million chances or something to win, and three of them won. And that's chance, so to speak, or lots, if you talk about in the Old Testament. But life, and this is not that way. Let's look here and see. I said we'd read verses 10, 11, and 12, and that's what we'll do. We might look back up above that. But verse number 10 said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I remember going back to my mother reference again. I don't know why it's on my mind this morning, but she is. And thinking about that, I remember she used to say, all right, boys, let's get up out of bed. You can sleep when you're dead. And that was her approach to let's get to work. You know, there's things to be done. You can sleep when you're dead. She said that all the time. And I thought, boy, if I've heard that once, I've heard it a million times. Well, that's really what Solomon's saying here, too. You can break it down even further, but the bottom line is don't be slothful in any of the God's work or your work. Let's get with it. In other words, let's get up and get going. Verse number 11 said, I returned and saw under the sun. And this is what's always, I spent some time and it made me think about the weights to lay aside and how to speed up. Not speed up, but as far as continuing the race. Not speed up the race, but to continue, because this next verse talks about, or next line talks about swift. It's not anything about speed. But it always would puzzle me. And I still may be that way after we finish today, and feel free at any time to say, well, I think it's saying this or that, but I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance. See, it's always just stumped me there, happeneth to them all. Said, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. And in verse 13, we'll finish it out too, says, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. In other words, what Solomon noticed is in spite of all his wisdom, this was a puzzle to him. Because if you look, there's five instances in verse number 11 that what we would normally say, well, let's just look at them. We'll see that the outcome we would know. So if you look at the race is not to the swift, in other words, the swift or the runner, or we talk about a race just in general, we would normally say, well, the fastest person is going to win. That's going to happen. That happens every time. You would ask, you know, if we watch the kids run or race, you'd say, well, this one little boy or the next door neighbor or whatever, he's really fast. Or little girl, there's no way they won't win the race. But what if they trip? What if they're just not as fast that day? What if they pull a muscle? What if they don't come that day? and somebody else races. And see, that's what it started to make you stop and think that, yeah, that's what we think of. The swift always win the race. And you think, well, they always have to be crowned first. But that's not necessarily the case. Let's go on. There's five instances here where you look at this. And it's and again, verse number 12 gives us our explanation. But verse number 11, though, gives us, I guess, the instances of knowing that God's wisdom is better than strength, is better than speed, is better than the swift, being better than wise, prudent, as far as man's wisdom, etc. Let's look at the next. That the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Israel is an example there all through the Old Testament. Of course, they were strong because God was with them. But sometimes, many times, if not all times, they were outnumbered. And if we go back and look, Philistines' weapons were, if you go back and study that out, were much more advanced than the Israelites. But they prevailed. So if you were looking at it on paper and reading about both groups, you would say, well, the Philistines have got to win. They outnumber them. They've got better weapons, etc. That wasn't always the case. It said, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. So you look at the swift, and you think, well, the runner is always going to win. You look at the strong in the battle. They're always going to win the battle. You look at the wise, and you'll always think of the and the prudent, the likelihood of being wealthy or doing well. They say, well, that's a wise and prudent man. They're going to be very successful. There's nothing they can't do, nothing they can't accomplish. And then you look at the gifted, which we're talking about there, yet favor of men of skill, and you think about, well, they're very clever. Anything they do or touch, it tends to be prosperous. And that's, a phenomena that we live with and we think exist. But what Solomon here, he opens it up, and my question, and it goes back to what I always battled with, and when we run this race, we talk about weights that easily beset us, I think, well, when I get over here and read, what's the use of getting rid of the hat and the coat and the weights that we think and the sin that so easily beset us? You know, according to this, is there any divine providence? Does God really guide and lead our lives? And the question is yes. When I first look at it, I think, and again, you can see why I've been puzzled with that. I said, well, Solomon here, he's saying that no, it goes to these. You know, it goes to the fastest, goes to the strongest, etc. But if you look, when we get to verse 12, before we get there, we're going to look over in Ecclesiastes 3. There's time that God has allotted. And he tells us that, Solomon does, before we get to chapter 9, that there can be no denial of divine providence. Now, we're going to get deeper now than a race or a battle. We're talking about our lives and the church. So we're Christians, which we make up the body of the church and God's church. And here, I mean, they talk about missionaries going out, the preachers preaching, the Sunday school teachers standing to teach. In other words, that's bigger than any phenomena we may know. And we're going to look at Ecclesiastes 3. And just here, it's a time. That's what we call the time chapter. We've looked at that before. It's been several years, but a time for everything. And I won't read them all, but to put that in perspective, if you just pull verse 11 out, it makes it think that, well, it's always going to be the swiftest. It's always going to be the strongest. It's always going to be the wisest. It's always going to be the most prudent. It's always going to be the gifted. But verse number 12 is going to change that. We haven't got there yet, so just stay with me. Because I've got to give you some things before we get to verse 12. And then you'll see really in verse 12, and it took me forever because I spent so much time on verse 11, I never gave verse 12 a lot of thought to go back and say, wait a second. Verse 12 is giving me the answer. That it's more than just man. It's more than just time and chance. But let's look at chapter number 3. It says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence. A time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh, and that wherein he laboreth. And that's verse 9. That's how he ends. Solomon does when he talks about a time for everything. In which, what he's trying to give us is God is set in motion time. You say, well, where did you get that from? Well, verse number 11 said, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. In other words, if you translate the word world in that verse there, what you're going to find out is referring to eternity and as a whole. And what he's saying, Solomon is he talks about the time to weep and the time to laugh. We won't read them all, but all those times, and also over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, is that as God has set eternity in motion, and it continues, God has a desire for the things of eternity. We do. Every man does. Or woman. I say man in general, just as man. But the problem comes in is when we are, I guess, we can't be satisfied outside of God because we're only temporal. We're only here for a short period of time. Life is like a vapor. Our races are short. That's why it's important to cast off those weights, lay aside those sins that easily beset us. To run the race, sure. Stay on track. Remember I talked about I play that little game with our kids. And the most important thing I find when I choose my little car to race them with is it has speed and agility and has all those things. I look for drift. I want the car with the smallest amount of drift. I want to stay on the track because I know I can beat Jesse, Maggie, and Luis. I can't beat them at all if I can't stay on the track. But if I can stay on the track, I can do okay. And so you think about that in our Christian lives, and going back to last week, we need very little drift or no drift. We need to stay on course. And that's what he's saying here. There's a time for everything else. But you need to stay on course. You need to stay on the track. Because he says he hath made, referring to God, everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. In other words, man's quest for anything eternal frustrates him on his own. Always trying to go to the moon. Well, not the moon, but go further than the moon. Okay, let's go to Jupiter. Let's go to here. Let's see what's out in the Milky Way. Let's see, you know, always searching, always looking for something eternal. And if you think about that, as we look, man's always got a quest. Not only that, and I just use space as an example, but all the different religions in the world. Think about that. Always a quest, looking for something eternal. But man's always frustrated. What was that a few years ago? It's probably been, I don't know, maybe 15 now, where you know we had that group out in California. They were that religious group about the UFO was going to come back and get them all. You know, you stop always looking for. And thing is, he had a group of people follow him and believe it. Always looking. It's just in man to do that. But outside God, you can find no peace. There is no life eternal. That's right. And that, it took me forever. And you're sitting out and you're saying, well, yeah, Brian. But that Ecclesiastes over there, chapter 9, I couldn't see those verses. I couldn't see that for looking at those through the way the world would see them. In other words, like, well, these things happen. It's just chance. Some things happen to some families or others or happens to you or some people get benefit. Well, it's just chance. And he's saying that here, said, well, there's a time for everything, but at the same time, it's God's sovereign hand. And there's a reason for everything that occurs. And we know that reading over in the New Testament as well. So let me move on, and you'll see here, and then we'll get to verse 12, which gives us the answer, and we'll be finished. But I got a couple other places, and I marked them for you. But one I jotted down says Psalm 27. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let me turn over to 1 Samuel as well. And he's talking about as each day is our life as we go. And I had 1 Samuel here, I know. Just stay where you're at. A few places. I did not see this till this morning when I was going back through and reading. And just making sure and had some things marked. And I didn't want you guys have to wait on me to turn a lot. And my eyes flipped across the page. Let me read something to you first, and then I'll go back and read where my eyes went across the page. And again, we're looking at just instances of what we would think phenomena that we see that, oh, when the swift lose a race or the strong lose the battle. But yet, We must understand there's a time for everything that God has appointed. And God set the world in motion. He's in charge. He's in control. And never should we give up on that. No matter what may happen or occur with us individually or as the church. Because some would argue and say, well, it looks like the church is losing its foothold. Or it looks like the world's pushing in. Don't get discouraged. You know, Billy Mitchell tells us every time, I don't think he's preached in the last 2 or 3 years, and he doesn't open up with saying, you need to be looking up. Don't be looking at the news. You need to be looking up. So you need to be praising God every day, moving forward. What does he say? He says, yeah, they tell me I preach perfection. He said, that's right. Nothing wrong with preaching it. And he says, we can't be it, but might as well strive for it. That goes back to that drift, trying to stay on course. Let me read this to you here, and it goes right along with that. He says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. You guys know what I'm talking about, David and Goliath. And then there was one there where he said, wait a minute, there's a phenomenon. Because if you look at the swift, look at the strong, look at the wise. It wasn't very wise for a little shepherd boy to go up against a big giant. Was that prudent? Was he a gifted boy in any way? Was he stronger, etc.? So that's one place I wanted to go through and look to see that, it's not always as we might think, oh, that just happens. But it's always a purpose. But as I read that and looked across the page, let me read you something that just I thought stood out more than that. And Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and assayed to go, for he had not proved it. In other words, he tried to walk with all that armor on. And Saul was much bigger man than David was. And he tried to move, tried to walk with it, and he couldn't. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And what I looked at and glanced across the page this morning in my Bible was put them off them. And I thought about, he set aside, put those weights off of him. I can't go out and fight him like this. I can't even move in this stuff. He set it aside, those weights that were going to slow him down. So that goes back to last week. I think the weights, and that's what helped me so much, I think, in studying this, the weights are more of a concern and the sin that so easily beset us any time than I should be concerned about time or chance or the phenomena of what's going on around me. In other words, the strong and the battle and the swift. In other words, as we read in Ecclesiastes 3, God set that in motion already. Those are time for this, time for that. And sometimes different things occur. You know, I just read in the news this week or saw there was and it's just a side note to tell you that things occur sometimes. And God knows, the hurricane out in the Atlantic. It's the first time that's happened since like 1933 or something, middle of the winter. Of course, they said in no way, well, I guess it could, but of course the weathermen say there's no way to get close to the U.S. because we have such a big cold front. But it's out in the middle of the Atlantic now. They've given warnings to ships and stuff that's crossing because they're just not accustomed to running across one. But it's going to move up through the middle of the Atlantic and, again, stay away from our coast. But that was just unusual. But there was a time for that. So rather than concentrate, as I had my efforts in studying, trying to figure that out, I think it was taken back to say that's not important. And as we're told in verse number 11, it says, so that no man can find out the work of that God maketh from the beginning to the end. In other words, there's some things that's just not for us to know why. One day we'll know why, but now we don't. And so let's continue on. And as we look here, we're going to look at an exception to the rule that sometimes we get astonished by. But we're going to look at verse 12. And that gives us the answer. He goes, as you look at verse 11, against it I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And that was Solomon from his point of view and the wisdom he had. Again, wisest man to ever live. But as you stop and you again read that, he begins to look, and as you read through the rest of the chapter, that it's God that's in control. Verse number 12 again gives us our answer. It says, "For man also knoweth not his time." And see, that goes back up to verse number 10, verse number 9, verse number 8. If you look at verse number 9, he tells, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity." In other words, she's your wife, you're her husband. Should live joyfully. It's a blessing. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Verse number 8, if you think about back in the Middle East, white clothing was cooler. It was also a show of purity. And, of course, you'd get dry heat, and that ointment sometimes would feel good on their heads and on their feet. And then verse number 7, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now, this current time, no promise of tomorrow, except at thy work." So when you look at verse number 12, it's very important. And this is not to be to think, we all know we have an appointed time to die. And that's what Solomon, I think, comes around to here to say, "For a man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, or taken at the wrong time, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." So you can be the fastest. You can be the strongest. You can be the wisest and be gathering up the most riches and doing well and the most prudent. And you can be a man of skill, very well thought of. And everything you touch or craft or come together works out. But what Solomon says is, "For man also knoweth not his time." That sometimes what we think is the phenomena the strong did not win, or the swift did not win, it's also part of life. As he already told us in Ecclesiastes 3, how each time, there's a time for everything. Here's what he's saying too, there's also a time for man. And man in general, man and woman. It says the fishes that are taken in an evil net, that's a time when they're not expected. The fish wouldn't go into the net unknowingly. And as the birds that are caught in the snare, they'd go the direction, "So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me." In other words, in spite of all the value of wisdom, it often goes unheeded. That we know these things, but yet we live our lives cumbered about, I'm going back to last week, by weights, things that hinder us, slow us down. Because, you know, we only have a certain period of time to run our race and to be out. And, you know, we think about going out on our Saturdays, first Saturdays of the month. You only have a certain time to be that witness to the neighbor, to a family member. Pray for someone else. We had prayer requests this morning. Come to Sunday school. Go to church. Pray for the preacher. We only have a certain amount of time for that. So why be cumbered about by weights, things that slow us down, things that hinder us, pull us aside? And I think, as I was studying that last week, and that got put on my heart, I think the Lord did here, and I thought, how does that relate to the two? And I see why, because as I read that in verse number 11, I thought, that's always bothered me in a way of it's just chance. But if it's just chance, then why don't you just roll the dice, so to speak? But we don't. Because, again, that goes back to that drift. We stay on that path. We stay on that old path. Faithfulness is what with love, that goes back to 2 weeks ago, that we have for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's faithful to us. We need to be faithful to Him. Going back to Billy Mitchellism, as he would say, I'll call it that. He says, they tell him, and I said this earlier, he preached perfection. And remember, he always tells us, he says, I preach that. But he said, we can't live it, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for it. And I think that's what they're telling us here in Ecclesiastes. Do the best you can. And then over the New Testament says, don't forget, lay off those things that trouble you. Slow you down. And remember, there's a time for everything, and God has appointed those times. Don't get caught up in that. Don't be snared, as the birds are so easily snared, or maybe, or the fish in the net, or an evil net, or at the wrong time. As Christians, don't get caught up into that. You have more wisdom than that. You have the Scripture. No better than that. But also realize each man and woman have their appointed time. But we just don't know when that is. So work toward as if, you go back up to verse number 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work nor device nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Go back to my mother saying, oh, you can sleep when you're dead. Get up. There's work to be done. And I know that I've spent a lot of time there in Ecclesiastes going through that, but hopefully that gives you something to go back and study, read, and think about in your own life. Because it's so easy sometimes to, again, lay so much to chance or just rolling the dice, so to speak. And there's a lot of people that live that way. Well, you go back in the Old Testament, they did what they call casting lots to see which way they should go or what they should do. Let me show you a few more places and we'll be done. Real quick, then I'll be done, be right out of your way. There's something that had run across when I was looking at just, and so I tried to go back and find examples of time and chance. And I found two, one in the New Testament, one in the Old. And you'll know these when I read them and we'll be finished. But it's just, you'd think of it, it's like it would snatch the prize from a runner or a victory from a strong. But it's, again, it was their appointed time. Let me read these. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thy hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And if you go back and study that out, it's over in 2 Chronicles, what happened, it said when a certain man drew a bow at a venture, he just put an arrow in a bow and he just shot. Just let it go. Didn't really aim. Hit the king of Israel. You go back and study that out, of course, that's Ahab's death. That's how Ahab was killed. He was riding away from the battle. Getting out, moving. He was in a chariot. Hit him right between the shoulder blades. Killed him. And so when you look at time and chance, that's one of the references you'll get. Let me show you the other ones in the New Testament, then I'll be done. But all of those, let's see, Luke 12, 19, said, and most of you are familiar with this one as well as the other one, said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. See, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that, oh, I've got all this time and, yeah, I got some weights that slow me down, but well, I'll get rid of those later, and I got plenty of time to do that. And yeah, I'm running this race, but yeah, I drift off. Maybe I'm not exactly where I need to be, and in other words, putting things off. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, it's like a bird snared. It's like a fish in an evil net. Time was up. Time comes same way with King Ahab, same way with this young man here. Time was over. So, going back to verse 10, after all that, and I spent time, I know, in verses 11 and 12, I really think verse 10 is the meat of it. And then get busy. We got things to do. You can sleep when you're dead. Let's move. That doesn't mean not rest at night. I'm not saying that. But see, we got a lot of things to do. Now, that doesn't just mean get up and go, go, go all the time being overcharged. But that goes back, see, to the weights and to above verses when it talks about the heaviness that we have and the sin that so easily beset us. Those things need to be laid aside. They don't need to cumber our mind. Take us some weight and things that are important. So I hope that right there gives you something to look on, gives you encouragement during the week. As it does me, sometimes I get down wondering why things happen, why this happens. Well, you know, it's not always for us to spend a lot of time worrying about that, but just to pick up and go on. Pray for the preacher today and the message, and we'll see you with some announcements in just a second.